Committee on Rules Administration will come to order. Members and authors, I don't think we're going to move on any of these today, but we're going to discuss them all, get a sense of what they all are. And then I know that the policy committees are working on some of these, and we'll just kind of have a process where if the policy committees think some of these are good ideas, we will find or come to a final decision in here as to whether they're good ideas or not. But we'll just kind of work back and forth a little bit, because I don't want to, I think just the bulk of them is what is kind of starting to interest me. And I think we just need to think through as a group whether we want to do all these, aside from the merits of them individually. So I see, Senator Rest is here. Senator Rest, why don't you just briefly just tell us about your two. The reason these are her members is these are task forces or commissions or something that someone thinks we should put a legislator on or two. So, Senator West.
Mr. Chairman and members, Senate file 2511 establishes a collaborative governance council, really with the guidance and oversight of the state auditor's office, as you can see on page 2 of the bill, lines 2.4 through 2.8. They do include legislative members, four of them, in a council of 12, but the collaborative council also includes members from the League of Cities, Townships, Counties, School Board Associations, AFSCME, Education Minnesota, so that it has local government.
And okay, Senator West, we can see all that. The key is, it's pretty short. I think members are reading it. So I think the question would be on the powers and duties.
Okay, and I was coming to that relative to what's in the next bill, too, so that I could compare and contrast them. The membership is important in terms of what the duties and powers are. It would be in conjunction with the state auditor's office. She has indicated that she would be happy to absorb the cost of it within her budget, so at appropriate time we would probably delete lines 2.6 to 2.8, so there would be no fiscal impact to the state auditor's office. The proposal comes from a series of year-long meetings with interested parties, and then comes to the proposal, which is to ask this group to deal with, sometimes we call them unfunded mandates, sometimes we just call them burdens to collaborative efforts, and ask them to do a review of the statutes and laws, barriers, things that get in the way, how collaboration could be used to improve the delivery of services. Thirdly, how technology, which I think makes it a little bit different than some of the other proposals, how technology can be used to boost the connections between entities and sharing the information, including broadband access, how to modernize financial transactions and their oversight with regard to the things that are listed there, credit and debit card transactions, et cetera. And then the fifth thing, which I think is also an interesting twist, and that is to really look at the tools that are currently available and to see whether, with regard to joint powers agreements, and to see whether we can work on a model form for joint powers agreements. The council would then submit reports to the various committees with jurisdiction over state policy and education.
Your explanation was longer than the bill.
It's all right.
No comment.
Senator Frederickson.
Short.
Senator Frederickson. Senator Frederickson.
Oh, and I was looking at. Yeah, I was actually looking at. I was looking at the. The bill is introduced. I should have been looking at the bill, the first engrossment, but the issues are just the same.
Senator Frederickson.
I just wasn't looking at it.
Is the League of Minnesota Cities, Township Association, Counties, and School Board Association, are they enthusiastic about participating in this? Did it originate from them, or is this something outside their...
Mr. Chairman and Senator Frederickson, they are very enthusiastic, and they have been part of the discussions for the past year that my counterparts in the House, Representatives Swale and McFarland, so it has been a... bipartisan effort and in their meetings around the state, and they are, I mean, they can testify, but they're very enthusiastic about it, and they've been part of the putting together of this bill.
Thank you. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, I don't know to what extent this governing council would be getting involved in human services issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I just suggest that to the extent that they do, that there be a collaborative effort with the Department of Human Services, because what we find is that in the past, anyway, people had ideas about how to get rid of things or simplify things, only to find out that they don't know the half of it, and that then there are difficulties that arise along the way because everybody that needed to be at the table wasn't involved in the discussion.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I couldn't agree with you more with regard to unintended consequences. Sometimes one level of government's unfunded mandate, if you take that away, it means that there's an unfunded mandate on some other level of government in. And so we ran into that with regard to our bills last year, trying to get rid of some of those unfunded mandates, where and some of the policy changes, all it did was shift the burden onto some other level of government. So I agree with you. I think what's in the duties here, what are is more the platform. The platform from which to look at those areas. It came with an emphasis, as you can see, on generally state government rather than any particular agency, except for policies regarding education, which is why the School Board Association is in Education Minnesota are named as part of this collaborative group.
One more question.
Sure.
This is kind of an unusual use of the state auditor's office. I haven't ever seen a state auditor in the past get involved in serving on councils or task forces or committees to recommend things to the legislature. Usually they act independently.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Berglund, the state auditor herself has been part of the group that's been meeting to bring forth these ideas, and she certainly is the state office that has lots and lots of data about things like financial transactions, et cetera, that occur among local governments, and so her expertise in this matter was considered a very valuable benefit to the group.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, but the office will be able to absorb these duties.
The state auditor is here. If I don't know if Mr. Chairman, if you wanted to take any
sure, if she wants
testimony from her,
absolutely.
But She certainly can speak for herself.
Madam Auditor?
Mr. Chairman, would you like me to check this?
Just next to Senator Respo, would you over there?
I'm going to borrow this for one minute.
Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, and some of the rest. So,
identify yourself.
I'm Rebecca Otto, the Minnesota State Auditor. And last session, there were lots of things lawmakers tried to do around local governments, innovation, cooperation. And I currently have a working group around changing Fire Relief Association pension laws, where we have different players around the table who are very involved on a day-to-day basis. We do oversee them, but the work is to modernize the laws and make them easier to use because we're seeing better compliance with the laws and better understanding. So we tried to make that a more successful process for our firefighters. In this situation, I do work with the local governments. We do oversee them. And so there's a fine line. But this type of work really is just convening it, working through it, mediating, figuring out what the issues are, and if there are things we can bring to the legislature. And my perspective in this group is important because I also have the oversight perspective, so when we're looking at changing laws, it's important to make sure we're building that in and not making any mistakes and creating unintended consequences. In terms of absorbing the cost, I don't think it needs a fiscal note. I think amongst the group, people are excited enough that we'll be able to figure out a way to make sure that we have meeting minutes, agendas, and topics we're going to work on. We've had a format in my office that's worked, so I know it won't be hard to create what I think we should be able to do. And the goal is to come to the legislature actually with a bill rather than just issuing reports. It's to come to the legislature with a bill that has items that would be useful for all units of local government, looking at it from more of a broad perspective in terms of how they can work together to try to find more efficiencies. So it's different than that unfunded mandate issue like you talked about. And if you don't mind, Senator Berglund, the issue on Health and Human Services is a good point. What we do is we bring in experts. Whenever we looked at a topic, we bring in the important people to make sure we weren't making a recommendation that would create unintended consequences. So that is dealt with as well, and we currently do that with my working group with the firefighters.
Kate, our immediate concern is the just for members, if you have four legislators on a council or task force or whatever, kind of if you just add up per diem and mileage, you're somewhere in the $600 to $700 a meeting range. And that's really what I think we need to think about as a group here. And let me ask
Mr.
Senator Rest.
One of the iterations of this bill did not have any legislators serving on it at all. And one of the bill drafts, we did add them, but we could just as easily take them off. The firefighters group that Auditor Otto mentioned does not have any legislators on it and has worked extremely well. So that would certainly be a way of getting rid of the cost, and if legislators wanted to come, they'd have to get permission. Obviously, if they wanted per diem, they could serve without per diem, but they wouldn't have to have it, and they wouldn't have to be on there.
That's
idea.
The one issue to think about. And the other one is the Collaborative Governance Council, just I haven't given a lot of thought to it, but there's just something about that I don't like.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're trying to think of, and you'll hear this from some of the other proposals, some way of distinguishing it.
Okay.
Without just saying task force, working group, advisory group, what could this be that could be a something that would distinguish it?
Okay.
It functions obviously as advisory, but with a duty to come up with draft legislation.
It sounds like something that you're working with to kind of drive ideas for change, and that sounds great. I think the think about the name of it and also think about whether you need legislators on it. So, Senator Berger.
Well, Mr. Chairman, even if there were not financial considerations, I think it might be better not to have legislators on here, because depending on what the issue is that they're taking up, you're going to have this struggle about who should be on it. And it might just be better to have people go when their
interested
issue is being discussed.
Mr. Chairman, I can't hear Senator Berglund.
It might be better for legislators just
not to
go when their issue is being discussed rather than have a struggle about what legislators should be on there, you know, who's going to have the most interest in this, da-da-da, you know.
Okay. Senator Fredrickson? Well,
Mr. Chairman, there doesn't seem to be a strong argument for having legislators on this collaborative governance council. So why don't we remove the legislators and just move the bill out?
Well, I mean, we could do that. What I was kind of thinking here is there's, until we get a feel for all of these, I think it's hard for us to totally advise. I don't know what I think until we think about all of these. And so I think what I was going to suggest is the authors should think about, based on this conversation, what they think, and then, you know, we'll kind of have an iterative process here. And these, I think a lot of these bills are not going separately. They're going as parts of omnibus bills. And so I don't think there's an urgency for them to actually move at this moment. And I just think, as we all think about it, we may get to a point where kind of people are starting to think, oh, that's what makes sense, and then maybe we never have to actually do anything here.
Mr. Senator. Chairman, in the House, the two bills I have are in the Finance Committee and may well be included in omnibus bills. Here, unless they are moved to the Finance Committee, that would not be they're here rather than part of an omnibus bill. What I would volunteer to do as part of this process is to take the comments made by members and come back with amended versions that would reflect what members seem to be interested in, including removing legislators from this group.
Okay, I'm just trying to, Senator Cohen maybe can shed light on this. I was trying to figure out why these bills are here. Usually this is the last committee things are in. And I'm just trying to understand.
Mr. Chairman, that was my question.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
so
it came from my committee.
Okay.
And the reason why is because they had legislators on them. And if they were going to be included in any kind of omnibus bill coming out of K-12 or state government, that the issue of legislators on the bills should be dealt with here before they went to finance, because otherwise, if they became part of an omnibus bill and they had these councils, work groups, or so on, had legislators on them, then the omnibus bills would have to come back to the Rules Committee, and we decided in my committee that the preferable path was to deal with the issue of legislators on the committees before moving them to finance to see whether or not they're appropriate in any of the omnibus bills.
Okay. Senator.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that answers the question of both of us. Then we have potentially a real procedural problem, because the omnibus bills have to report out by Monday. Where the chairman is omnibus policy bills, that's number one. Number two, if it's a bill that could go as a standalone bill, you arguably might start running into deadline problems. Three, if the bills, if this would be one omnibus bill, we could have established a late rule. I do note that I think at least two or three of the bills have appropriation sections in them, so they wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for these omnibus policy bills. Four, we don't have any money to provide an appropriation for these bills, absent the bill we passed off the floor yesterday. We didn't have any new appropriations at the bill anyways. So we've got several bills that are going different kinds of directions,
right.
And I'm not sure what authors or Mr. Chairman what you'd like to do, but there are really procedural problems with where we are right now.
Mr. Chairman, I will note that the bills came to the Rules Committee on March 11th, so they have been acted on very appropriately by the state and local government committee, and plenty of time to have
reach the Finance Committee, and I'm, you know, it, just the way, you know, it is what it is, you know, in terms of where they are right now.
So, yes, I was smiling because I thought, now we're even. I said you spoke longer than the bill, and now you said this has been here since the 11th. So. That's not what you meant. As you explained it, that's not what you meant. So that's why I'm kind of intending to, let's just kind of hear all of these and see where we're at, and then maybe there is something we'll do, or maybe there's other advice we'll give. But I don't know, because when I saw that we had all of these, I asked my staff, why are they all here? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that, I think you forced the issue, Senator Rest, by sending them here. So I think that's a good thing. Let's just try to figure it out after we figure out what they all are, Senator Cohen, and then decide how to proceed.
But Mr. Chairman, again, I would point out that removing the legislators and that one section requiring the auditor to provide the staff would totally remove the need for it to go to the Finance Division, because there would be no fiscal impact.
Is that what you would like us to do now?
That's what I would like you to do.
Okay.
And we all need some help.
Senator Cohen, what do you think of that?
You know, that's fine. I'll just kind of read through these. I've got another committee in a few minutes, so I'm not sure I'll be here for the duration of the meeting. I think there were three bills where there were explicit appropriation.
Any appropriations bill, Senator Cohen, any appropriation bill is coming to the appropriation. We're sending finance.
The donor appropriation sections that also ought to be in finance. So.
You think they should be there also?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I want to read through them
okay.
And see.
Last point then, Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only thing that I'm a little concerned about is whether there's any overlap or duplication among these things that are in front of us.
So let's get through them and find out. So, Senator Rest, if we could just hold off and we'll just see what... Do you want to move this as an independent bill or do you want it part of an omnibus bill?
I think it's fine as an independent bill. Because it doesn't have any... If the amendments were made, it would not have any fiscal impact.
Does it have... which shouldn't matter to us, but I'm just curious. Is it moving as a separate bill in the House or...
It's in the Finance Committee there. I don't know whether Representative Swales is asking for it to move separately or to become part of an omnibus bill.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Madam Auditor and Senator Rest. And second bill, Senator Rest?
Would you consider putting those two amendments on?
Well, let's kind of get a feel for everything here. I think what members are saying is they kind of want to know about all these bills first. Senator Rest, your second bill, 2620.
Comes to me actually from Representative Thiessen.
I'm sorry, 2516.
Yes.
I wrote the wrong one.
As you know, there are any number of efforts for redesign and innovation in, I think, forced by necessity as well as opportunity to redesign and to encourage and give incentives to collaborative effort, shared services. You'll hear from Senator Bonoff. Representative Thiessen had been part of the group called Grants Innovations Advisory Group, which was established in the last couple of years. And this bill is based on the recommendations of that group. It does have in the first article, after it is establishes the group, it does call for the ability to give grants for the purposes of innovation, of an innovation program.
So Rest, yes? I'm just looking. I don't see legislators involved here, so I'm not sure why this bill is here at all. This one looks like it should be in the Finance Committee. I don't think it needs to be here.
Well, we sent them all here, but
okay. Why don't we? This one, I think we should just send to the rules to the Finance Committee.
Okay. One of the things I was looking at was the not dealing with Article 1, although that's certainly in the Finance Committee. But looking at the authority of the state auditor to grant waivers from some rules and regulations, and to extend that authority to not-for-profit organizations. And it had been my hope that I could put drop Article 1 and put Article 2 on as it's a lot of pages, but it's only one authority onto the bill that we just had. That's all.
Okay.
So it's you were talking about ways of putting bills together, and I certainly endorse that concept. It's a little bit hard. It was a little bit hard for our committee to sort them all out as well. Some of them use MMB, some of them use the OET. This one is really directed to engaging the state auditor, both of them, particularly the second article of the second bill that I would hope to put with that collaboration council.
Senator Rest, is there any reason Article 2 should go anywhere other than the floor now? Does somebody else want to see that? I have no idea.
No, if Article 1 got out of the bill, was deleted from the bill, then Article 2 could go right to the floor.
Senator Bergman?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, what kind of not-for-profit organization would be included in this besides those that serve human services or health department clients?
I'm racking my brain here to think about what kinds of organizations there are out there that would not come under a huge umbrella of human services organizations. But that is a recommendation to extend that waiver that's now only given to local governments to some. That would be the authority would be there for not-for-profit organizations, and it's a streamlining activity, as you'll hear from in Senator Metzen's bill of just the whole idea of innovation and cooperation sometimes requiring a waiver of some sort of state regulation or statute or rule.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, the reason I'm asking is because last session we did authorize this, I don't know if it's called a council, but it's like a council that operates independently of the legislature to approve pilot projects through county government for the deliverance of social services in conjunction with not-for-profit organizations. Mm-hmm. And it authorizes the Department of Human Services for projects that are approved through that process to be granted waivers. I'm just a little bit concerned that we might have a couple of things with this bill that would kind of be similar but would not be touching base with each other.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I think this particular authority is under the well, I guess it's the Commissioner of Administration as well as the State Auditor. And this particular part of the law is the state auditor's authority to grant waivers, which is a special part of the law.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator, that's why I'm asking, what would it include that this other process doesn't include?
I thought that'd be a good gesture.
I don't know what particular organizations. I can't tell you.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps Senator Rest would be
if you want to, you lay it
able
over
to
and then I'll come, I'll
answer those questions on the bill. I'm not
Senator
saying it should stay here. I'm just registering concern.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just in terms of all of these bills, in reading through them and glancing at those, checking with Mr. Watson, the bill we have in front of us right now arguably would not have to come to Finance Committee, although...
They got rid of the first article.
Okay, was it the entirety of it?
You're on the other bill. We're now on 25.
What's clear is it's got an appropriation section on Article 1.
Right, 2516, but I wanted to get back to 2511.
2511, okay. Okay, 2511.
Senator Rest, you were going to remove legislators.
That's correct.
But there are also duties imposed on the state auditor shall provide staff and administrative support.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I had also said at the recommendation of the state auditor, we would delete that, requirement, and the degree to which she would be a participant or set this up would be within her own budget with no additional.
If we're taking, okay, and I apologize for coming late and missing that. If we're taking out that part of the mandate on 2511, fine. Otherwise, all the other bills would have to come to Finance because there are grants, there's expending money, there's legislators, there's appropriations. So.
Understand.
Unless those sections are removed here.
I'm just trying to figure out, yes, Senator Cohen, trust me, yes, I know. Okay, Senator West, thank you. We'll think about these two bills and we'll have some further discussion. So.
And Mr. Chairman, do you have any notion of when you would have that discussion? And would you like for me to provide amendments to the bill so that they would maybe meet some criteria that you'd be interested in?
We'll let you know.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, Senator Murphy, 2540. New members have come in. What I stated at the beginning of the meeting is I just thought we should try to figure out what all these bills are before we do anything, because there's just a lot of them. Let's just get a sense of all of this and then try to decide what we should do. Senator Murphy, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is here because on page 16 there's a reference to some legislators and how they're appointed, and we've got an amendment to make this different than what it states in the bill. And I think Mr. Watson has that amendment.
He does. Has this bill come from the Finance Committee?
Mr. Chairman, this was the vetoed policy, transportation policy bill we took over the summer, and then a little bit here at the beginning of this year, we kind of worked our differences out with the executive, and this is what's left of the bill. But there's this one little change that needs to happen before it goes on, before the bill moves on. This bill was heard in all the appropriate committees last year. It's just it got vetoed, and that's why it's back here.
Okay. So it's come from the Finance Committee, from your committee to here?
Came
from where?
No.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So it came.
Okay.
And is this.
To the full Finance Committee.
Pardon me?
To the policy transportation.
Okay. And the Minnesota Council on Transportation Access, is this a new thing, or this is something that's being altered? Or?
Mr. Chairman, members, this is a new council, but it's not. This is just codifying basically what we're doing already. So,
have there been members?
No, Mr. Chairman. What's going on right now is the Minnesota Council on Transportation Access does not exist. This would make it exist. What's going on right now is that the department is doing what is recommended in this chapter already. We're just formalizing the process.
Okay.
And
why do there need to be legislators on it?
That's probably a better question for Senator Dibble, but we figured that as long as we have all these other experts on transportation, you know, everybody from the Council on Disability, the Public Transit Association, you know, there's a member from the Veterans Affairs, a Board on Aging. This is a committee that's being that's trying to be put. Mr. Chairman, I need to take this.
Mr. Chairman, I've wondered if we should be expanding all this type of task force and so on. Do we have a list of people of that we now have? It's probably pages long, right?
Senator Langsep, that's why we're here. During certain parts of the year, there are, just in my office, someone spends like full time just trying to figure out how to get everybody appointed to everything that everybody's created. So that's why I'm asking, why do we need legislators on this?
Mr. Chairman, it just seems like now more than ever we should be a little bit more careful about expanding all this sort of thing. I pay a little attention to some of these boards, and then I see that certain legislators vote against everything that's recommended by the board when they're on the board. You kind of wonder sometimes if this isn't just window dressing. I'm sure there's some good reason for each one of these proposals here, but in general, should we be just expanding the number? I really kind of question that we should, and I guess I'd like to see that list of those we already have going.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, I was looking at the this consul being established, and I don't see an appropriations section in this bill to pay for it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Fredrickson, according to the testimony last year, MnDOT said that, you know, since they were already doing many of these functions already, that the cost would be negligible, so we didn't even figure it in.
Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Murphy, is this a council that already exists and we're just going to put it in statute?
Mr. Chairman, this is my son calling from Iraq, so I'm going to go ahead and take this.
Senator Murphy, just deal with that. We'll come back to this, okay? Thanks. Let's set this one aside. Let's set this aside. I do think the issue is, I mean, look at you got commissioners and designees about everybody in government here.
I don't, Chairman.
Get the Minnesota Council on Transportation Access. I don't. Senator Betson?
Well, I share some of the concerns Senator Langsep has about more committees and groups here, but I think we're in a unique period of history here where the public is demanding more with less. And I think some of these concepts fit into that category where we can get together, be more innovative, more creative, and I think that's kind of the purpose of some of these bills here is to get there. And I know when I chaired the GovOp committee 10, 12 years ago, we abolished about 50, 60 boards and commissions that weren't meeting, weren't doing anything. But I think it's a different time now, Senator Lang, since we're asking that the budgets are terrible, the income is not there, and that's what I kind of get out of these bills, that we're trying to be creative and innovative and hopefully in the long run save money with some of these groups that we're creating here.
Okay. On this one, I don't see the need for legislators on this one.
Pardon?
This one, I don't see the need for legislators.
I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but I think in general that's what we're I think Senator Rest and others are trying to accomplish. And I'm not saying one or picking.
I mean, here, not our bailiwick, But Commissioner of Human Services, Commissioner of Health, Commissioner of Education, if you are a commissioner, you or your designee is on this. I mean, I don't get it. But my only issue as chair of this committee is legislators, and I don't see a reason for legislators on there. So let's go to the next one. Senator Yumbaugh, I think we think you were next, maybe? Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members.
1770.
Mr. Chair, members, and I think Senator Metzen kind of hit pretty well the nail on the head on this one. This is really kind of growing out from the Commission to End Poverty. And that commission expired. We did a lot of good work. We had a great report. We've been trying to work on issues piece by piece as we move forward. It does affect all Minnesota in terms of trying to have some great economic development for some of the most at-risk people and people that have gone through a number of different issues that got them in poverty. I myself am very thankful to the chairman here for putting me on that task force. I didn't think too much of it in the beginning that I would be of much value to that task force, and I found it very engaging, and I thought we came up with a lot of neat ideas, met a lot of neat people, and came up with some good hardcore ways to try to move people out of poverty. So in that vein, we wanted to keep it going with a task force, and I believe that task force does indeed need legislators because it does affect our Minnesota economy and a lot of things that go on in Minnesota. We have tried to change the bill to be sure that it would not have any budget implications. This bill is actually sitting on the floor in the House, so it's ready to be acted on in the House. So it is a standalone bill, and I hope to have it a standalone bill when we're out of here, and I don't know if it's in order to do any amending in here. We've got a couple of clarifications we're hoping to do.
So, remember, it does have a cost. Roughly, for every meeting that a legislator attends, put per diem and mileage together, it's roughly somewhere between $600 and $700 on these commissions and task forces and things. So it does have a cost. And didn't this poverty task force, didn't it have a full set of recommendations? It had a staff, it had a full set of recommendations. Shouldn't we act on those before we keep meeting?
Mr. Chair, members, while that seems to be a good idea, it just doesn't seem like things live and ideas live beyond the period of time that a task force exists. And we tried to deal with that in if you look at line 2.29, after letter B, it says, members of the task force serve without compensation or payment of expenses from the task force. Actually, in the House, they put a period after the payment of expenses, so that it would be clear that that all the members would serve without any payment.
But we don't. Okay, I understand. It's not kind of the way we do things.
Okay.
The legislators can attend any meeting they want. But if you're an official representative of the Senate because you got appointed by the Senate, I think you should be able to collect per diem and mileage. That's why we try to differentiate between members attending meetings they want to attend versus ones that the entire body wants them to attend.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Yumbaugh, it's not unique to this task force. So, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Yumbaugh, what would it harm the work of this task force if there are no legislators, or as an alternative, there were only two senators and two representatives?
I don't know if we have anybody here that would want to comment on that. I would not see a harm to it. I guess I personally would like to see some legislative attention to this in order to be sure that we're consistently moving this. And it's again, Mr. Chair, members, I guess I see it from the work that we did produce is is something that, again, benefits Minnesota, and I think we're saving money. It's kind of interesting that we can't account for different things. You know, what I've learned in the last 8 years about how we do look at, we can't book cost savings as we move people onto different programs and work through some of these processes to get folks out of poverty especially and create taxpaying citizens out of them. There's great benefit financially to the state, and yet we've not figured out ways to book programs that actually produce a net positive benefit in terms of tax dollars to the state. So,
okay, thanks. So any other questions? We'll think about it and chat with you a little more. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We will. I mean, I want to assure everybody we'll do something on these bills if people want something done on them. But I think right now we're just trying to figure out what are all these.
What the course of action might be.
So, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to mention to Senator Youngbauer that there have been sort of working groups that have worked with the Department of Commerce on issues in the past without having an official legislative task force created. The example I'm most familiar with is the issue of getting interpreter services into the health plan. That work was done within the Department of Commerce without having an official, and legislators that were interested in that and were working on that were invited to come to the meetings. So just throw that out for
you. Mr. Chair, Senator Bruton, I appreciate that, and I for one hope to come back next year, and I'm very passionate about this subject. It's been something I've really enjoyed serving in that capacity, and I would be wholeheartedly happy to serve with no reimbursement of expenses and things. I've become that passionate on this issue. So if there's a way to do that and engage other legislators as well, I would look forward to those suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Barr. Senator Rummel, then Bonhoff, then Metzen. Welcome, Senator Rummel. 2496.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Never having been before the Rules Committee before, I hope I can meet your expectations. 2496 is a bill that establishes a workforce on policy and research, and I affectionately call it the Smart Government Bill. I won't go into my whole presentation that I used the other day. But the bill takes the first steps in creating a sustainable relationship between policymakers and the Minnesota Legislature and our research community. And nobody asked me to carry this bill, but in the last 2.5 years, 3 years, I've been working on doing something like that. I hear from policymakers, I hear from people in the research community saying, why can't we get some of the good research that's out there to policymakers sooner. So there's a great deal of interest in this bill, and in doing this, the conundrum is how do you get people together under one roof, at one table, at one time. The bill charges a small group of policy leaders and leaders from the research community to do several things. First, they're going to work together to create a roadmap that will lead to an implementation of a policy that formally links the policymakers with our research community. And as we heard from the One Minnesota Conference, there's widespread agreement that policy based on rigorous independent research has a better chance of serving the public well. And one of the folks at the One Minnesota actually told us that the Washington Institute of Public Policy saves them about 1% on their budget. If we translated that to Minnesota, that would be $300 million or more. So there is a cost saving on this. The task force would propose a model for generating those priorities. We have two similar groups in Minnesota, the Office of the Legislative Auditor and the LCCMR. We have legislators and outsiders working together to present really high-level research findings so that the legislature can act on them. This group would also describe the structure and operations of the research side of the relationship. We have research beyond the university. Our foundations in Minnesota generate a good deal of research that some of us don't even know about. And so how do we get access to that in a timely way? It outlines the steps that are needed to be taken in order to implement what I'm calling the Smart Government Bill. The task force also explores the various costs and benefits of linking policymakers with the research community, as well as the potential funding structures. The bill calls for a report beginning 2011 session. And it's ended. It's a one-year deal. The Center for Politics and Governance at the Humphrey has graciously agreed to convene and to facilitate this conversation at their own expense. And all of the people named in the bill have agreed enthusiastically to participate. I think what they are looking for is from leadership from the legislature that this is indeed something that we want to have happen and that will bring them all to the table at one time and one place. I'll stand for your questions.
Okay. Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, would it harm this task force if there were no legislators on it, or if we reduce the number of legislators to two members from the Senate and two from the House rather than four?
Thank you, Senator Fredrickson. I think because it is a relationship between policymakers, the legislature in particular, and the research community, we do need legislators. And in particular, I think the bill calls for at least two people from the Finance Committee. I would like at least one person. I would entertain reducing the number of legislators. Right now, we have more legislators, really, than we have people from the foundations. That might be top-heavy, might not be necessary.
The one thing about this one that is different is this one is a meeting of all kind of, some of these folks are not government people. And so the credibility of having a legislator on there maybe enhances their willingness to gather.
Well, yes, that gives it the authority. And when if we do come to
authority, but it gives it some kind of imprimatur.
And relevance to them.
Okay. Yeah.
It gives them the confidence that at least there's serious interest in pursuing this relationship.
Okay, Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, on page 2, lines 6 and 7, I don't think we need that language about legislative members in that section.
Right, yeah, we have boilerplate language there. Okay, Senator Rowland, we'll take a look at this one in the context of everything and get back to you here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
And this is this a bill that is moving on its own, it looks like, or would it be part of a larger policy bill in the Finance Committee?
In the House, the bill missed a deadline because of a certain committee, so he's got to attach it to something else, so it depends on what happens.
The bill would have to go to the Finance Committee under any circumstance, so you probably should get it as part of a larger bill.
Yes, and I should know by the end of the day what happened to it in the House.
Okay.
Thank
great.
You.
Thanks, Senator Rummer. Rummel.
That's okay.
Rummer. Senator Bonhoff, 2620. Senator Bonhoff, I apologize. I thought Senator Rummer walked in before you did. If I was wrong, I apologize.
She did, Mr.
Oh, she did. Okay. I was trying to do it by the order people showed up. So, Senator Bonhoff, 2620. Is that one first or the other one first?
Mr. Chair, 2620, I do have an amendment, but what I'd like to do first is let people know that, in fact, this probably shouldn't be here because, number one, there are not legislators. There are not legislators, and there is no appropriation, although I think it would still be instructive for the committee to hear the bill because it does relate to the other bills that you've heard before. So if you wouldn't mind, as long as I was sent here, I just as soon go ahead and talk about the bill.
Well, I would say that. No, if it doesn't need to be here, I don't think we're going to spend time talking about it.
Good job.
Mr. Chair, it's just...
Someone thought this had to come to his committee for some reason? So there are no legislators on here?
There's no legislators. This is the Commission on Service Innovation, the CSI Commission. And this is taking advantage of the best and brightest among the community leaders, bringing them together to write a strategic plan.
Sarah Cohen's staff still here? Sarah Cohen leaned over to me and said that every bill had to come to his committee, and I'm looking and it's not clear to me. Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, I think the commission, if you look at page 2, lines 21 to 25, is going to go out and solicit private contributions and use those to pay its expenses. So they're clearly going to be expending some money that may not be public money.
So does that mean...
It has to be appropriated.
Money to be spent. But it is true that there's no reason for the Rules Committee to look at this.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I wondered with regard to the amendment, what's happened is there is significant interest in the bill. I keep getting people from the outside community coming and saying, could you include us, for example, the Council on Nonprofits and... the Chief Information Officer, Gopal Khanna, had some requests of changes to be included to the bill, and that's why there's an amendment. So given we have stopped here, would you like to adopt the amendment? No. Okay.
Yeah, I think typically that's not what the Rules Committee is for.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
Senator Berger?
I would just move that the bill be referred to Finance.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Senator Berger moves that Senate File 2620 be referred to Finance. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
The next bill.
Senator Bonoff, if you do try to put a legislator on here, it'll be back.
Mr. Chair, no interest in putting a legislator on there.
Very wise, very wise.
Okay. Mr. Chair, the next bill is a task force, which does have some legislators on it, and I would be willing, given the conversation, and also I had a similar concern from the beginning with regard to legislators being on this task force, I'd be willing to just remove those legislators, and then this, too, would not have any fiscal cost. This is a advisory task force to look at the subject of school desegregation and integration. This is a very discrete amount of time, begins, you know, appointed in July, starts in September, and ends early the following year.
The legislators off. Mr. Watson, if you take the legislators off this one, does this one have to go to Finance? We're just looking through it, so.
Mm-hmm. I would think it would depend on whether the primary education can absorb the work or whether
it's Chairman. Yeah, these bills, you know, their mandates, I'm not sure what. We're looking at...
We're looking at 3002 now.
3002.
Taking legislators off, does it still have to... Take legislators off it, and then the question is, does it need to go to Finance?
Well, we still have involvement of the Commissioner of Education. So we're not sure what that's going to mean.
Mr. Chair, we would like this bill to be part of the omnibus education finance bill.
Oh, then you want it over at Finance. Oh, okay. Well, then let's not worry about it. So, Senator, who wants to, Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, there's an additional question about the public members that would be appointed by the Speaker and the... And the Senate Subcommittee on Committees on the top of page 1, that even though it's not legislators, it is appointments being made by the Subcommittee on Committees. So if you're taking the legislators out, there remains the question of whether you want to have the Subcommittee on Committees make these additional appointments.
How
Mr. Chair,
important is the Subcommittee on How important is it to have the speaker and the subcommittee on committees appoint people?
Mr. Chair, I would prefer that, but as an alternative, if it would simplify things, we could have the chair of education in the Senate and chair of education in the House. But, Mr. Chair, I trust the Senate Subcommittee on Committees. And
so about the issue, I think what people are confused by is when the legislature appoints, when the Senate puts someone on something, they're not just representing themselves anymore, they're representing the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings some, you know, some level of credibility for and chairs of committees can always appoint anybody to anything they want, but that doesn't carry the weight of the Senate. So that's the issue people are kind of grappling with.
Mr. Chair, while I prefer to leave it the way that it is in the bill, I would actually prefer that. I think that that's commensurate with what the subject matter we're looking at. It's a matter that has a lot of import to the future of how this program is designed.
What's the amendment to take out the legislators, Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, to delete the legislators, it would be on page 1, delete lines 21 to 24, page 2, delete lines 5 to 8, and then we would need to go back on line 2.4, delete the semicolon and insert a period, and back on line 1.24 after the semicolon insert and.
Okay, Senator Clark, you may land to move that. Senator Clark moves that amendment. Discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Then Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonhoff, another alternative would be to have the task force themselves appoint these other people at their first meeting.
Apparently there's some interest in the Education Committee on this. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm. Mr.
Chair. This is tied to Senator Berglund. As I understand it, there's work being done on the integration formula.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somebody is trying to figure out a way to move that discussion forward. And I think they do want some connection to the committee. Am I?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is true.
Let me just ask.
We have a subcommittee on integration aid. There has been some concern in the community that we will operate in a vacuum, and this is such an important issue and touches so many people around the state that this concern has been brought forward in terms of can we have a formalized process to gather input and to make recommendations, and that's really the genesis of this task force.
And I probably should have asked this beforehand, but by taking the legislators off now, have we really irritated a particular legislator who thought they were going to be on this?
Mr. Chair, I don't think so.
Okay.
Those of us legislators with concern around this area will find a way to sit in the sides of these committee meetings and listen.
Okay, then Senator Cohen moves that Senate File 3032 as amended be referred to the Finance Committee.
3002, yes.
3002.
Yes.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Mr.
Whoops, pardon me, Senator Sinjum.
Senator Bonhoff, I don't need a long answer. I'm just not familiar. It doesn't relate to memberships or anything like that. But for instance, on page 225, or line 225, I'm sorry. I mean, I can understand integration revenue because we hear about it all the time, but the idea of amending the school desegregation rule, just in a sentence, what is the issue there that we might want to need to think about?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sinjum, one of the things that drives the way we give money around integration aid is the DSEG rule that was created many, many years ago. So, in fact, as a subcommittee, even yet this session, we're going to be meeting about that DSEG rule to get the background, to understand things have changed since that first came into existence. And as we go forward, with reforming how we do integration aid, it's going to be correlated to the DSEG rule. So we're also, as legislators, going to be looking at, outside of this task force, we're going to be looking at proposing some changes to the DSEG rule. So again, this task force, these outside community people, would like their input considered as we look at making that change. For example, right now, it's all around are we integrated, and school districts that touch other school districts that have high concentrations of diverse populations, they're affected. We may want to change the language so that we can give aid strictly, not strictly, but include achievement issues, so that it's not just about integration, but are we actually improving academic achievement? Right now, we don't really have the room to do that, given the way the rule's written.
But the, right, Ms. Chair and Senator Bonner, I don't want to get too deeply. The approach is not to move towards segregation again, is it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sundrum, no.
Okay, then we have the motion before us to re-refer 3002 as amended to the Finance Committee. Discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Thank you, Senator Bonner. Senator Metzen. Well, she made some very strategic amendments. Senator Metzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, we've heard a lot of kind of new ideas this morning. This is not a new idea. This is a reestablishing the Board of Innovation. I believe we're here more for discussion purposes than I'd like to get the job done, but it would cost $4 or $5 million to do it, and we don't have any money, as you all know. But this is a program that has proven results. This was brought forward a few years ago by Majority Leader Hottinger and former Senator Ember Reichstadt. I served on the committee. It did a lot of good things, including, like Senator Rest said, it eliminated a bunch of waivers, a lot of obstacles in place for different areas of government. Let me give you a couple of examples of what happened.
You've got a bigger mountain to climb on the appropriation, right?
Absolutely.
So the way this did work in the past, it did have members of the legislature on it?
Yep. That's the least of my concerns. I mean,
I'm kind of worried, since you have a really big mountain to climb here, I don't know that you're going to get out of the Finance Committee.
No, I'm not so sure why I'm here. I'm not the Senate arrested. It's a great...
Well, you're here because the members of the legislature are in our group. Why don't we just send this to the Finance Committee, and if it does get funded, then we'll take a look at whether there's going to be members of the legislature on it. How about that?
That's fine, but let me just, in a minute, say that this is an area where we can do more with less. We've combined fire departments in the past. We've combined townships in the past. For example, in Hutchinson, Minnesota, there was a salt and sand. County had a facility. The state had a facility. And the city did. So we stuck in some seed money through this program. And you know what they did? They combined and they built one building in Hutchinson, Minnesota. They paid less for the salt and the sand. They had two front-end loaders instead of six front-end loaders. And these are examples in the past that have worked. And under the Ventura administration, I guess it doesn't matter who, but it was taken out. But this is a very, very good program. So let me try a little harder in the Finance Committee and see what we can do.
So Senator Berglund moves that Senate file 1880 be referred to the Finance Committee.
Thank you.
With the understanding that if it does get funded, we would take a look at, again, members of the legislature on it. Although that argument is pretty strong. If you actually put $5 million into this, someone might think there should be some legislators there. So
That's kind of the good news and the bad news. The good news is that if you actually got an appropriation, you probably have a good argument why there should be legislators on here.
Yeah.
Getting the appropriation is the hard part.
Just briefly, the South St. Paul and West St. Paul fire departments, they've got this confined area, just not those bigger communities. They combine. It's a South Metro fire department. There's one chief. There is obviously was two before. There's two deputy chiefs. There were four before. Did it save a lot of money up front? No. Is it going to save a lot of money?
Yes.
And these are the kinds of things that this bill would accomplish.
Okay, we have the Bergman motion. We refer to finance. Senator Cohen, this becomes your challenge then.
It's not his challenge.
You have no money?
Yeah. I mentioned the fact that there's no money.
Even with your motion, you're not offering to pay for it.
I'm not paying for it, Senator Metzen.
We don't want to save. We don't want to do anything that's smart that will save the state money. But I okay.
You demonstrate it's going to save the state money. That's different than. Oh yeah,
local government aid, other areas.
Well, then we should
absolutely.
Send it to
tax. If you can combine parks departments
in smaller cities and have one,
is Senator Bach interested in it? Do you think, Senator Metzen?
It's not a big deal. Just trust me.
Okay,
on the Berger motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Aye. Motion adopted. Okay, members, what do you want to do on these other ones? You want to think about them or?
Well, I think the ones that offered to take the legislators off of them, we should let them do that.
Send them over to finance?
Let them go. Well, I think a couple of them were going to go to the floor.
Okay. So, who can help us walk through that?
Well, I think there's some arrest bills. And even though I have a concern about one of her bills being duplicative, I'm happy to work with her on that.
Mr. Chairman, I...
It's an arrest?
The 2516, I would just request that that be... laid over without further consideration.
Okay, well, we'll just set that aside right
yes.
now.
The other one.
2511.
The other one.
There is an amendment here. 2511, what are you thinking?
2511, I think, would be satisfied in the process to delete lines 119 to 124, which takes out the legislators.
Okay, let's just do that first.
Okay.
I'll move that.
So Berger moves to delete lines. We're on 2511, Senate File 2511. Delete lines 1.19 to 1.24. All in favor? Senator Ferguson?
Senator Berglund, would you also include deleting lines on page 2, lines 12 and 13?
I was going to
we'll come to that next.
Yeah.
And then with the appropriate punctuation, 117 as part of the... Berglund motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted. And then back on the back side, 226 in arrest. What are you thinking about doing?
227 and 29, which would have put a fiscal burden on the state auditor.
You're deleting that?
Yes.
Senator Berglund moves to delete lines 2.7 to 2.9 with appropriate punctuation changes. Discussion. All in favor say aye. All opposed. Motion adopted.
And then, Mr. Chairman, lines 212 and 213, which also would have affected legislative members.
Senator Fredrickson moved to delete lines 212, 213 with appropriate punctuation changes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen had mentioned earlier about a clean sweep of... boards and advisory tasks. We also did that 2 years ago, sunsetting them, and this bill also has, it's not permanent, it does have a
expiration.
A sunset. So just
don't we have to do some on lines 226 and 227? Oh, no, that's a report to those
that's
people.
That's a report to the legislature.
Okay. All right, with those changes, Senator Berglund moves that 2511 be recommended to pass.
Thank you.
Senator Cohen, we don't think it needs to go to your committee now, right?
That would prove to be the case.
Okay. On the Berger motion, 2511 recommend to pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate it.
As amended, adopted as amended. Okay, then we have, let's leave that one to last. Who else? I've lost my sheet. Here we are. So we've taken care of bond offs, rests.
We have Murphy.
Metzen's we've taken care of. Jungbauer, Rummel, and Murphy. Murphy's not here right now. Does he need legislators on that?
I can correctly do that. Anybody interested in transportation who serves in the legislature will be at the meetings without having to be appointed. I said I can probably guarantee you any legislators interested in transportation.
Why don't we hold?
Without being.
We're going to hold off until we have further consultations with. And he had mentioned Senator Dibble's interested in this, so we'll just hold off temporarily. You know what? Does that bill have to go to your committee if the legislators are off there or not? The Murphy one looks like just a policy bill, but I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman, there's something about grants in here, I think.
2540?
Yeah. I had a chance to read that, but I thought I saw that.
Grants?
Kim.
There's about alternate projects funded in this section.
So you believe it needs to go to the Finance Committee?
Well, there's the expert.
So, Dibble, we're looking at 2540.
His haircut.
There are two issues. One is, I think you're swimming upstream by putting legislators on that. That's one issue. And then the second issue, even if legislators aren't on that console, Senator Cohen kind of thinks the bill still needs to go to the Finance Committee. And he's looking to make sure. Do you know enough what's in this bill, Senator Dibble?
Sure, there's reimbursement of members of the council. Is that a fiscal for expenses as provided? And that would be it, wouldn't it?
Senator Dibble, first.
Well, to the first.
You thought about everything.
Yeah. Well, to the two points on the first matter. Keep in mind this bill has already been passed by the full legislature and given to the governor. It was vetoed as a package.
Yeah, that
last year.
Was this Minnesota console in there when it was vetoed?
Yes, it was. It wasn't vetoed for this purpose. It was vetoed for a couple other things that were taken out.
It doesn't strengthen your argument that this bill avoided scrutiny by the Rules Committee last year.
Well, I just think the point is the legislature has supported this proposal in the past. I think that, I think that's an important factor to recall. It wasn't, you know, it was fully vetted, debated, and discussed, and passed by the legislature. I feel strongly about the composition of this particular entity. This is an existing. This is meant to replicate or replace an existing kind of informal, or you know, a group that's been kind of pulled together by memo of the governor that's been meeting over the last number of years, and doing frankly a very good work. Coming up with a lot of ideas and initiatives around better coordination of our transportation resources among private social service agencies, scheduled route, regular service, et cetera. The challenges they have are fairly significant in terms of you know, innovation and policy. And this is part of a larger effort that's going on nationally to make better use of our transportation resources across all kinds of different providers. Senator Berglund is familiar with this subject because we've had some discussions. She's had some role in trying to get folks to talk to each other. And the reason I thought it was important for legislators to be there is because there are going to be some important legislative initiatives that are going to have to emerge from the work of this group. And that kind of close involvement, the kind of competency and familiarity with the issues, et cetera. The reason we're trying to put it in statute is because very, very likely something like this would go away after this governor leaves office. And I think for that work to not perpetuate would be a shame. I also think it would be a shame if this work never really saw the light of day. Much of what they're doing now just isn't getting full airing because they don't have folks at the table who can take these ideas and turn them into legislative proposals and really really bring them to life.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
It's your call as chairman of the committee. If you think it's advisable to have legislators on, you know, on the committee or the commission, Senator Dibbles made the argument to do that. Clearly, this is a finance bill. They have to go back to finance.
Okay.
No matter what.
Okay. Senator Brugel.
So maybe we could handle it the same way we did Senator Metzen's bill, send it to finance, and if legislators remain on it, then it would have to come back to rules.
Well, that'll get Senator Murphy excited.
You know, maybe it can get paid for, maybe it can't. And the finance committee has to struggle with that.
Mr. Chairman, the other sections that are finance sections, they have nothing to do with legislators.
Have nothing to do with?
Legislators beyond that.
Right. There are finance sections in here other than this, right?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Buell.
What is the nature of your objection? I don't see this as different than some of the other commissions and task forces we've set up.
They haven't done very well in here today. We're eliminating...
This is the budget of the Senate to pay per diem and transportation costs for legislators to be on more things.
So it's a money question.
And if we're downsizing government, we just can't have... I mean, Senator Dibble, if you look who's on here, they all work for the government, pretty much, don't they? And at some level, I mean, just look at the list. Commissioner of Transportation, Commissioner of Human Services, Commissioner of Health, Commissioner of Education.
Mr. Chair, the work that other states and other metropolitan regions have managed to accomplish with initiatives like this have allowed agencies, both private and public, who are involved in transporting people around our communities, whether they're serving disabled people or senior citizens or people low income, better coordination of fleets, better coordination of dispatching, addressing service gaps as well as service overlaps, has succeeded in saving a tremendous amount of money. I at one point was going to roll this into some of the big reform initiatives that we were talking about getting underway, because I think the potential savings of the work that would emerge from this group, if it were to actually be brought to scale and see the light of day, would be tremendous. I mean, I've been involved in this work at the national level through the National Conference of State Legislatures quite intensively, and that was how I got turned on to this idea in the first place. The possibility of saving dollars in terms of transportation and enacting some important policy reform has been very significant. And while this Interagency Committee on Transportation Coordination has been meeting for a few years, they haven't been able to deliver much. And so the presence of legislators, I think, both giving it some foundation in statute and having the presence of legislators who can take this work and turn it into policy is significant.
Sarah Berger, your suggestion is the bill has to go to finance, we send it to finance, and if the finance committee decides that there should be this commission or council and it should have legislators on it, then it would have to come back here on the legislative issue.
We've talked about it now. Why don't we just make the decision on the legislators now?
Well, I was trying to give Senator Dibble more time to make his case to the Finance Committee.
That's what I was trying to do.
I think you're going to lose the legislators if we act on it today.
I haven't been persuasive.
Senator Dibble, here's where you're at. I think your bill will end up back here if it's got legislators on it, and you're going to have an uphill battle keeping them on there. But Senator Bergen is suggesting that you have that opportunity. Senator Frederick is saying, why don't we just today decide probably that he's not going to have legislators on this, and then he
can... I'd say strike the entire committee, seriously. I think this committee has been meeting for a number of years and gotten almost nothing done. You know, because it's been kind of an informal group who's, you know, who's met under the auspices of the governor. I think the presence of legislators makes a critical difference.
Senator Berger.
I would be one of those legislators. I've taken some leadership on this issue nationally. I would be, you know, very interested in bringing this work to the legislature, but, you know, without the presence of, and I'm not going to go if, you know, if I'm donating my time, I don't have the wherewithal to do that.
Senator Berger.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dibble, someplace in between, you know, would be creating this transportation council and then requesting that legislators be notified and invited to the meetings without having per diem attached to that.
Senator?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble makes, at least to myself, as someone who's not conversant with the issue, you know, some pretty good arguments in terms of the inclusion of legislators. But we understand that what we have to do this year is we're cutting back on the legislative budget once again. We have to integrate, whereas maybe normally we wouldn't give as much consideration to legislators being on whatever they want to do. Assuming it's okay with the Rules Committee, we obviously have to make an effort as we create commissions. And Senator Dibble makes the argument in terms of the need to provide some compensation for this kind of service. We have to integrate that with where the legislative budget is these days. And so, that's your concern, is to make sure that we take a look at where the legislative budget is. We're adding legislators to all these commissions we've heard this morning. I've been out of the hearing, but we've had several of them that have legislative members. You know, we might have to, what we haven't done before is make some calls as to which rise to a higher level. Where do you really need the legislators to serve, as opposed to maybe it's a nice idea. But we have to do that this time around in the context of the Finance Committee. It's more critical this time than it might have been several years ago. So the bill has to go to the Finance Committee.
So I do have a motion to send it there and decide this later.
And Mr. Chairman, in addition to that, there's some grants in here under the their safety technology grants. There are other issues from the Finance Committee.
Senator Berger moves that Senate File 2540 be referred to the Finance Committee. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. I'm inclined to take the last two bills and do the same thing. If they survive the Finance Committee, they'll be back here if they have legislators on them. I know Senator Rest was trying to expedite the process, but I've become even more convinced that we should let the process work, which is, are these good ideas? And if they are, then the last place they come is here, and then we get to decide whether there should be legislators or not.
And Mr. Chairman, obviously, we're going to hear these bills. Once we get past this next week, we'll come back from the break and start hearing other bills. We probably this year need to do something a little bit different with these efforts, and that is to, where's normally we, Suburban, which is the only division chair here.
So what do we got left?
If it's a human services issue, our point of legislators, we send it to your division, you can make a decision. This time around, I might want to bounce the bills over to the State Departments as well.
Senator Cohen moves that Senate File 2496 and Senate File 1770 be referred to the Finance Committee. Those are the last two left. Mm-hmm. And again, the process will be, if they come out of the Finance Committee and if they have legislators on them, they will come back to the Rules Committee, and then the Rules Committee will decide whether there's going to be legislators on them or not. Because all this committee's job on this topic is to deal with that. And if they're an omnibus bills with legislators on them, they're coming back here, too. So I know Senator Rest was trying to figure out a way to do this differently, and I will get the committee the list of all the commissions and the task forces. There are a lot of them. And I know authors think that if you have a legislator on them, it all works out. Not sure it does, Senator. So on the, first on the motion by Senator Cohen on those two bills, all in favor to send them to finance, say aye.
Aye.
All All opposed, motion adopted. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, obviously, and I'll say, okay, we're going to put language in here that says, it looks like it's served, but there's no per diem. There's no additional expense or something. But we still would have the House to take into consideration.
Well, I think it is a bad policy to say the Senate would like you to serve, but we're not going to pay you for serving during the interim. I don't agree with that.
And that's so there are a variety of issues to deal with.
Right.
One, as you suggested earlier, kind of the multiplicity of these legislative commissions. Second, you know, the payment of per diem and whatever other attendant expenses there are for a legislator, how that fits into our legislative budget.
We just need to remind members, I know this is hard, but there are legislative committees. And the work of the legislature is to meet and talk about issues and do things. And this, and maybe it's a frustration that the legislative committees aren't being successful. Okay, then we should try to make the legislative committee successful. But this notion that our role is to convene everybody in the whole world and have legislators be on the group and then come back with recommendations, I think to some extent that can subvert the legislative process, because our job is not to help authors put together bills. I mean, if...
I think I've only done it once or twice over the years, exclusive NCSL or national groups.
That's a different animal, yeah.
Yeah.
And those members who go to NCSL are representing none of who are going now because we can't afford it, but they're going to gather information for Minnesota. That's a different thing than having six commissioners get together and having a legislator sit with six commissioners. I mean, a legislator can call them into a meeting, a committee. Senator?
Which one?
Senator Olson, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, we don't know who the next governor is going to be, but getting commissioners together and trying to improve a change policy that and practice that will deal with the financials, I mean, that's a role that they would do in terms of making recommendations too, I would think. Of getting some of their commissioners together. They obviously have cabinet meetings, and hopefully some of that would come out of it. It's it may not always, in terms of that coordination. My mind was going to an illustration of one where there's probably less cooperation in that transportation area, but I won't bore you with it right now. So
I agree
with your thinking on that.
I think
we can overdo the councils and commissions. And
there is a place for them, obviously.
Yes, but I think it should be very thoughtful and carefully done. It can spend a lot of time, money, and that, too, accomplish nothing.
Senator Bergel?
Well, I just want to say that I can't remember, at least, a savings that I got from a recommendation of a commission. And, you know, we have to come up with alternatives to what the administration thinks of quite regularly. So, I mean, and when legislators get a bill in finance and they know there's no money and they have a fiscal note, it provides them with an incentive to figure out how to do what they want to do without costing money. And that quite regularly happens in my division. Bills come in. Have fiscal notes, people figure out how to do something without it, and we pass it out. So I think sending these bills to finance will give the authors incentives to do that as well.
I should point out, I do see that Rummel bill is slightly different, because there's an attempt there to gather foundations and others in a way to move some ideas. That one, I see that one slightly different. I don't know if that's fully worked out where it needs to be, but that one I saw as fairly unique today. Obviously, the Senator Metzen one is, but that's a different animal. So, okay, well, Senator Cohen, I'm pretty convinced that I would prefer if these bills don't get referred here first before they go through your committee. I'll pass that along to Senator Rest. I give her credit, though, for trying to figure out a way to expedite things a little. So, okay. I don't know if we're meeting again this week.